good news and bad news, girls. The good news is your dates are here.
What's the bad news?
They're dead.
Ah!
See, a United States astral robot become a creature of death.
Oh. And Dave.
We have come here to this planet for one purpose only, to acquire breeding stuff to repopulate our planet.
Welcome to Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-movie podcast from classic cults and all the cheese in between. The movies are Babe, yet him and his grade A. And I'm your host, Jason Giaconetti, and I'm joined by my dad, Mr. Al Giaconetti.
Hi, Jay, how's it going? I guess we got a unique one today. I Married a Monster from Outer Space.
Yep, 1958, and we'll get to it right after this.
A beautiful, innocent girl on her honeymoon. Her passionate dreams of perfect romance turned into a living nightmare. For this sweetheart she married, the man she had loved, was merely the hollow shell for the invaders from outer space.
Bill!
Who would believe her? Who could help her through the flesh-crawling terror of this unearthly marriage when anyone she turned to could be one of them?
I Married a Monster from Outer Space was released in October 1958. It was directed and produced by Gene Fowler Jr. Now, you'll know that name as he was the director of I Was a Teenage Werewolf from 1957. Had a running time of approximately 78 minutes. It was produced and distributed by Paramount and had a budget anywhere between $125,000 to $150,000. Our story opens at King's Restaurant and Bar. As a bachelor party of sorts going on for Bill Farrell. That's Tom Tryon. He's the main star in this movie. He's getting married the next day, so he leaves early. Bill gets in his car and drives off to see Marge, which I'm not really supposed to see the bride, I guess, the night before, whatever. You know, but he's going anyway. He drives along the lake, and he sees a body in the middle of the road and stops. He gets out of the car, and he's sure he hit somebody, but there's nothing there. A strange glowing arm with three pointed fingers touches his shoulder. Bill turns around and recoils at the sight of a very strange humanoid alien. Bill sinks down along the front fender of the car to the ground and is enveloped in a cloud. When the cloud disappears, so does Bill.
The cloud, it was a special effect brought about by a guy by the name of Fulton, who did a lot of special effects on a lot of movies, not necessarily horror movies or monster movies. He would do water scenes with ships. He would do some gunfights where the bullets would explode off the wall. But so he was a decent special effects guy. This wasn't any schlocky guy. And as Jason mentioned in the opening scene, before Tryon meets this creature, there's some great old cars parked in front of this bar. I mean, if you had any one of them, you could send your kids to college.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of... I mean, every car in this movie is a classic old... they're just... It's not like... They weren't all... it's not like you can... These are real cars. These aren't just like whatever stuff they had left over. They were real... So. Anyway, all right. The next morning at the wedding chapel, the mother of the bride enters the room with her flowers. She's humming the wedding march, much to Marge's annoyance. Now, Marge is Gloria Talbot. She's the other main star of this movie. We'll get to it, but her voice gets to be very annoying throughout the movie just because I think she wasn't handed a lot to say. Bill is a very, it's constant. If you were playing a drinking game, and I'm not saying you should, but if you were, and every time she said, Bill, like as a question, people would be really snickered very early. All right, so she's anxious because Bill's late for arriving at the wedding. So he walks in, apologizes for being late. After the ceremony, they leave it in the chapel. They get in the car. So they're driving by the lake. And they go by the alien watching them drive by the lake. So he almost hits another car because he forgot to turn on the lights. And then Marge's like, "You didn't turn the lights on. I must have forgotten." Like, I just so offhandedly dismisses her. Like, there's nothing. So, anyway, they get to the hotel, right? He forgets to get her out of the car. He leaves her in the car. I was like, all I know is she's like, "You were not like this before we got married." I was like, oh, man, this stuff wouldn't fly nowadays. So there's a storm brewing outside, right? And they're standing out there. And he asks, "What's that?" Like, as if he, because again, he doesn't know what lightning is or the thunder. And she's like, "Thunder?" Like, just the complete, you're like, "Bill, what's wrong?" So flash of lightning, of course, that's what it's used for. It reveals that he's the alien underneath that mangled up face that they got there. All right, so a year later, we have a scene, which is great. She's writing the letter, complaining about how she's not sure who Bill is, the same guy, and then she crumples it all up. It's like, you didn't read it fast enough? Tough plot exposition. Sam,
Jake, what I wound up doing was I actually went backwards to read the note.
Yeah, but in 1958, you're like, oh man, I wasn't reading fast enough. Like, she's writing away, and you had to be able to read script, which, you know, we call nowadays like secret code, so kid can't read anything because they don't teach that anymore. Anyway, Sam and Ted, two of Bill's friends, are at the bar and they're talking, and how they don't see Bill anywhere. He walks right by the bar, doesn't even look in. So Sam starts walking home, but he feels ill because he's inebriated, and he wanders in the alley to puke. And then he hears a strange noise, turns around, the black cloud gets him, and then cloud disappears, no more Sam. So then we see Marge in the next scene. She's at Dr. Wayne. Now, at first, I thought Dr. Wayne had like a killer huge mustache, and it wasn't. It was the shadow caused by his face. I had to go back and rewind. I'm like, what happened to his mustache? And they were like, oh, it's a shadow. I thought he had a big old, like, you know, Tom Selleck looking thing. Anyway, so she's there because they've been married a year and she can't get pregnant. And the doctor admits that him and his wife took 5 years before they can get pregnant. So before he leaves, because here's Marge going to the doctor, doesn't tell her husband she's going. He says, "Why don't you have Bill come in and see me?" Now, there is no man who wants to, like, oh, are you kidding? Now, like, Bill's reaction when you hear about it is like, makes sense. He's like, oh, okay. Like, you know, he doesn't want to go to the doctor. That'd be like my wife saying, "Hey, I was at the doctor today and they need you to go in." No, they don't. They don't need me to go in. I'm not sick. Anyway, she goes outside and they run into Helen and Sam. Now, I don't know if you noticed this, right? Because Helen's really excited. She freaking rear-ends her. Yes. She hits her car. And I was like, are you joking? But I know it's the 50s, so it had those giant, like, big-ass bumpers on things.
Yeah.
But she, bam, hot, that's her. I'm like, she hit her. Like, are you kidding? Like, I'd have been really pissed.
Well, those scenes, I mean, they would have, in today's thing, they would have reshot it. But roll it at 125.
Keep going. There's no time. Retakes? We got it the first time. Anyway, so Sam now, who we now know has been abducted by the alien, but Helen doesn't know it, now wants to get married after all these years, right? So Marge has got that big case. It looks like she's carrying, I don't know, you could probably fit like a turkey in this cage, and it's the puppy, right? She gets home, and Bill's outside, so it ruins the surprise. And the puppy is aggressive towards him. He's rearing his teeth, although the puppy itself never actually growls or does anything, but the sound effects are there for it. So they put the puppy in the basement, and later, Bill goes down to the basement and to try to see if he can either figure out why the dog... he's trying to get the dog to, like, under his control, and he winds up killing the dog. Reaches out and kills the dog. She runs, and first he's like, "Bill!" And she runs down the stairs. "Bill, what happened? Bill!" It's her voice. Like, I'm not trying to be mean, but if you see this, Bill is 100% all, like, I think she says that over and over and over again. So he says, "What, the dog, he must have strangled himself. I think his collar was too tight." And she just buys it.
Right.
And then she's like, "Oh, by the way, Dr. Wayne wants to see you." And she tells him that she wants children and he should see the doctor. And then Sam comes over in one of the most awkward scenes in the movie where he's like, "I need the insurance policy on this guy. I'll get it." And it's like, oh my God, like fourth graders doing Hamlet would be like, "I am coming across the stage," he said as he turned. You know, it was just like, I felt like someone was reading the stage direction there, but it's fine because the whole point is they're in disguise, right?
Right. But they don't know what humans are.
Yeah.
At this point.
What I'm saying, they have that brief talk and Marge goes, "All right, I'm leaving." And she leaves. And then he's finally like Sam admits that he reveals he's an alien. And he said, did you make mistakes at first? So Sam admits he likes the pleasures the humans enjoy despite the stupidity and bad design and short lifespan. Like, it just becomes like the most awkward scene of acting into now, like, these two guys are going to be like touchy-feely about their feelings. And he tells Sam he's due to report to the ship tonight. So Sam tells Bill to report to the ship, and he reveals his human face and yada yada.
Well, you know, Bill is, he's Tom Tryon, and yes, this is probably one of his early movies. He became, I don't want to say an A-lister, but he made a few big-time movies, one called The Cardinal. But, I mean, he wrote the book on wooden performances.
Yeah.
And I think that's why his career just never moved on from where he was. He had a nice-looking guy, you know, big, you know, tall guy. But, I mean, when he opens his mouth and words come out, it's like, hum.
Yeah, and well, I think that fits really well with the what yes, they're doing here. It fits this movie. It doesn't really fit it like being too action-y, right, you know, kind of thing, which is fine. So, we cut the police car pulls up in the street and stops. Officer Schultz asks his partner, Officer Swanson, if everything's okay. Now, if this movie was made today, both of them would be in some kind of like, it really struck me as there being some kind of gay undertone to their, like, what? Well, you're just mad at me. And it's like, now, they're not trying to do that. It's just two guys who are on a beat and like, well, dude, you're being kind of rude. Like, there's no swearing in this. But, like, this is where you'd have guys just, like kind of, like, cursing at each other. Not on purpose, like, but kind of, like, being jerks to each other kind of thing. Like, so, anyway, they see the drunk in the alleyway and they go to investigate. So, Swanson pops Schultz with the butt of the gun in the back of the head, right, to knock him out, and then the drunk turns out to be one of the aliens waiting on him, and they envelop him in the cloud, and he's gone, and then it becomes kind of clear that obviously it's not just Sam and Bill who have been abducted by the aliens. Now, there's many more of the men have been abducted. So, after checking his wife, Bill leaves the house. He's unaware that Marge sees him leave, and she follows him. Now, she's wearing her nightgown with a coat.
Oh, and also house slippers.
Yes.
And she's walking through the woods.
Well, they're down the street first. And I don't know if you noticed, and again, and I understand it's 1958, and so things are shot differently, whatever. It is the brightest night I have ever seen. Like, it's not day for, I mean, they might have shot it day for night, but it wasn't shot day for night like it was later when they would just put a filter over the whole thing. Like, this was kind of shot at like, hey, what time is it? 6? Yeah, let's shoot this thing. You know, kind of thing. It's like twilight. Anyway, so Bill wanders back to the ship, and Marge is following close behind him. She sees the black vapor exit him and go into the ship, and the alien comes out and alien materializes, and then Bill is just standing there, like a wooden corpse, right? The glowing alien walks into the ship, and Bill is standing there, so he's unresponsive, so she touches him and he falls, because he's like staring off into space, because he's just like a cardboard cutout, basically, of Bill. So she runs, and that's when she winds up. Now, it's kind of weird because they kind of make it like she passed out, but then she's in the woods, but then she ends up in the gutter. Any, however it's sliced, she gets to the bar, right? Grady's bar, right? Where Max Grady, the bartender, who I swear, like I understand what they were doing there, but like he has marbles in his mouth. Ahmed Johnson could speak better. I told you with your wrestling, know your wrestling. He sounded like he had his tongue sewn to one side of his mouth.
But he was, that's the same part he played in a lot of different movies. I think whenever they needed someone like that character, he was the first one on the list.
Right, well, I'm saying it, but like he was really hard to understand.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, it wasn't like he had a thick brogue.
No, but he was just punch drunk.
Yeah, right. Well, it sounded like his tongue was swollen up the size, like, what are you talking about? You know, kind of thing. And he, seriously. Well,
but if you remember, he was also, you know, secreting shots.
I'm not saying that he's not supposed to sound like he's drunk. But the problem is, the other guys are drunk and they're just slurring their words.
Yeah.
He sounds like he's having a bee bit him and he's swelling up.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, so she goes in there and she's clearly upset, but no one wants to listen to what she's saying. But that's when, what's his face? I got his name in here somewhere. But that's the shystery looking guy. Like he's hitting on her.
Yeah, the gigolo.
Yeah, well, he's hitting on her. But the best part is he wants nothing to do with, obviously, the hooker that's there too. The worst hooker in the world. We'll get to her in a minute. Anyway, so Marge is stops the two policemen in their car, and she goes to see Chief Collins, who's like her godfather or something to her. So Collins offers her a cookie and pours her a cup of coffee. Have a cookie! You better eat that cookie. Now, and they look like the, what do you call cookies? You know, the ones that come in the big tin?
Yeah, well, he opens up his drawer, and there's this big tin of cookies.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, this is how we solve things around here, cookies and milk, or coffee. Anyway, so He listens to her and assures her that she's sane. He doesn't believe there's aliens invading the Earth, but he convinces Mars to go home and pretend like everything's fine. So he asks Swanson to take her home, and Collins walks over the window. Of course, big flash of lightning. He's an alien too.
True.
Right? At home, Marge walks into the living room. Bill's there in the dark, and he turns on a lamp. They walk upstairs, yet leave all the lights on in the house. He doesn't need the lights on, but he leaves them all on.
Well, yeah, I think he realized that, because it happens again later on.
Well, yeah, they don't need the dark.
He doesn't need it, but he's learning, and he realizes that the humans need the light on
right,
to
but
see.
But they're going upstairs to go to bed. He leaves them all on. Like, you had them off the whole time. Oh, now you are home. Now I will turn them on. Like, I feel like it's living with my daughter and wife. They leave every light in the house on. I will come home, and I'm like, who's here? Nobody. The lights are on. Anyway, so here we go. Sam's wedding day, and the rehearsal's underway, right? Bill is standing, obviously he's the best man. Marge is the matron of honor. Marge begs Helen not to marry Sam, not today, but sometime later. And Helen is like, are you joking? Like, it took me forever to land this man. It's a man, and I gotta marry him. So she's not specific, so Helen, of course, ignores her. Bills walks in to tell her that she's needed outside, and probably, you know, again, another very awkward situation. So Weldon, that's the guy's name. Weldon, he's got the he's the gigolo guy, right? He walks over. Now they're back after the wedding, right? He's walking over, and he's outside the house, kind of like scoping it out, right? So inside, Marge is looking for the lighter. Why aren't you drinking your drink? And he's like, it makes me sick, you know, kind of thing. So she avoids his presence, his touch. She doesn't want to touch him. She goes upstairs. He looks out the window, sees Weldon, and thinks something's up. So he now can telepathically can now communicate. So that Swanson and Schultz show up. They confront him and arrest him. And then he pulls a gun and he shoots. Who's he shoot? He shoots Swanson point blank in the gut 3 times. It's bam, bam, bam. And he's like, I don't think you want to do that. It's like, so. And then Schultz cracks him one with the judo chop. He didn't hit the gun. He judo chops in the back of the neck, right? And he says, is he any use to us? Nope. And point blank just shoots him right in the face. But it wakes her up, right? And she's like, what was that? And he goes, car backfiring. That's the old saying, you know, that's from Way of the Gun. One shot is a car backfire. Two shots are two bangs are gunplay kind of thing, yeah. You know? So where are we here? Okay, so Bill leaves the house. So they talk. He admits he's learning. And she's like, learning what? He goes, to be a husband. And it's like, I guess it could be a very dramatic scene, but neither one of them are very dramatic.
Well, you know, this scene here in the movie, again, I don't know if it was the DVD copy, but again, we had the... This was a not a copy of a copy, but the actual DVD.
Yeah,
itself.
It's the actual DVD itself.
This happens about 1 hour into the movie. Tryon's arms and hands seem to transform while he's leaning on the couch talking to his wife. And it's either that or he has a bad case of psoriasis, but it seems like it comes and goes. But when you see the creature, even in its wispy form, has these wrinkles all over his arms. And so I thought that he was, at this point, transforming, but then it goes back to... his normal skin, and it goes away.
Well, I don't think Tryon's the one wearing the costume.
No. No, I don't think he's wearing the costume.
I don't. Okay, you're giving a lot of. I think it maybe just be the way it was shot. I told you before. I thought the guy had a mustache just from the shadowing.
Yeah, but at that point, it really intrigued me because yeah. I hadn't seen this movie in probably 40 years, and when I saw this. Again, if I did see it, it was either on Channel 9 or on Chiller Theater or on a VHS copy. But when it stole, when I looked at his arms, I said, oh, maybe this is going to get interesting and we're going to see this creature. No, no. But we don't.
No. All right. So he leaves the house after admitting he's learning. So then we cut to the bar. Francine, that's the hooker. The worst hooker in the world, by the way. She is just atrocious at her job. She's on the move, right? So Bill, Sam, and Harry are sitting there staring at their drinks. And so Sam reveals the ultimate goal for their visit. Look, Harry, our scientists are working on a way now to mutate human female chromosomes so we can have children with them. So Max notices they aren't drinking their drinks and he comes over. And they go, well, we paid for our drinks. He goes, yeah, but he ain't drinking them. I'm like, okay. Like, it's just, okay.
And more for you.
Right, well, but he punches Bill, right, twice. But Bill is so unfazed, he puts his hands in his pocket, right? And that's when Max is, like, scared. But his hands are all busted up. And he goes, I'll leave him a tip. use it for some bandages. It's just like trying to be so like, you know, like, ugh,
cool.
Like,
yeah.
We're beyond this. But they're just three of the, like, they're just three losers. That's what they look like. Well, anyway, so Francine leaves, right? And she goes outside. She sees a guy in a hood staring in the display window of the toy store. And at this point, you're like, this, what? Like, you feel like, am I in the same movie? Because at some point here, I feel like, okay, this is going to turn into a giallo. Like, that's going to be some, like, hideously deformed person. It could be The Burning. Like, it could be anything. She's like, and she goes up and she does her usual, it must be her shtick. Do you have the time?
Right.
You know, do you like dolls? I like dolls. Do you want to buy me a doll? Like, I'm like, wow, you are the worst hooker ever. Like, Frankenhooker. Want a date? You know, has a shot better than this. But she ain't really good at attracting customers. Anyway, hooded figure turns to answer her. Of course, she's shocked. She runs away screaming, and he shoots her with the laser gun. Which, if you notice, is the exact same laser gun that the Klingons use from Star Trek.
Okay.
Yeah, right? Now, Star Trek's many years later, so I got a feeling it was just a prop laying around, and like, huh, that looks good.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, no, well, I didn't either, but, and I'm not a Star Trek person, because I don't watch that stuff, but it came up in one of the things I was reading. I was like, huh, and I went back and looked, and I go, it is, because I went and compared it. All right, so...
And, well, that's right, Paramount also did Star Trek.
Yeah, but again, it's just a prop. It's just, they probably had a room for, like, what do we got to do? And Star Trek, I mean, didn't run for very long, and I know it's, like, lived way longer than its TV show should have ever produced, but... It makes sense. They're just props. It's just a ray gun, you know? So anyway, so now after she disappears in a glowing mass, so she's gone. So several couples are having a picnic. Helen and Sam are out in the boat. They're rowing in the boat. Sam falls overboard and Ted goes, oh, he can swim like a fish, but he sinks like a stone. And the best is Helen jumps in after him, but she is the most ungrateful. Like, wah, 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 like face plants in. And of course, the other guys don't do Ted, who's still human at this point. He races in and he dives off the edge there. It's that ridge where the rock wall was. Perfect. It is just, boom, skin dive right in. He got it. They get on shore. Dr. Wayne managed to get there really quick. Gives Sam some oxygen and it kills him. Right? Because it's like the oxygen killed him. Yes. Yes, doctor. The oxygen did kill him. And that's when Helen winds up spending the night with them. And she's like, her husband just like was drowned. They gave him oxygen. It killed him. And she's out cold.
Right.
Like,
well, you know, the thing with the oxygen, I understand that it was the oxygen that the doctor
gave.
Pure oxygen. I mean, because they were obviously they're breathing oxygen the entire time they're on Earth.
Yeah. Well, I guess it was about the pure oxygen. So anyway, Bill, what happened? So what's her face? Marge goes back and sees Captain Collins. No, excuse me. That's right. Bill goes and he's worried about her telling Captain Collins what's happening, right? About her delusion. She tries to make a call to Washington, D.C. on a payphone, but she can't get through. She walks to the Western Union, where he talks to Mr. Potter. Oh, get you, Potter! And she fills out the thing to the FBI. FBI? Like, you can just write a telegram to the FBI. Like, I watch, she goes, go phone. Payphone. Yep, I'm going to call FBI in Washington. Yep, you put him on the phone, right? I mean, it's just payphone, which no one ever gets. The best is... She right through the window. He just rips it up. It's not even like he crumpled it. He tears it up and in the garbage. So she goes to leave town, right? And she can't. And Swanson catches up to her and says, the road's washed out. It hasn't rained in days. The road's washed out. And again, that cop, the one who plays Swanson, and his name's here somewhere now, he's just got this smile on his face the whole... And again, they told him, like, you know, pretending like he's helpful. No. And you're just like, that's just... That makes it way creepier.
Yeah. Well, you know, at this point, I mean, we've lived through... 65 minutes of this movie. The ending is coming up soon, but I'm saying to myself, you know, this is nothing more than a rehash of the invasion of the body snatchers.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone, one by one, has changed. I mean, there's no pods here, but again, the whole idea of invasion of the body snatchers is that once they change, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference anyway.
Leonard Maltin's actually said that in his review.
Really?
Yeah. One of the things Leonard Maltin had said, I got it here somewhere. He had said that. Maltin said, called it a pretty good little rehash of Invasion of the Body Snatchers with some nice creepy moments.
Yeah, well, okay.
But again, this Leonard Maltin, it's like the most like middle-of-the-road guy you can get. But I'm saying that, but that was, I mean, it's not like that's a, I mean, it definitely is Invasion of the Body Snatchers. There's other movies rip off Invasion of the Body Snatchers too, but this is clearly like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. All right, so where are we? So, okay, so Marge at home sitting on the couch. Bill walks in and says, how about some light? She replies, you don't need any. And now it just becomes just her being snippy with him the rest of the time out of the movie. She says he's an alien. I know you're not Bill. You're something that crept into Bill's body. Something that can't even breathe our air. Sam died because oxygen was forced into his lungs. Right? So he tells her they come from a planet in the Andromeda constellation. Their sun was unstable, so they built a fleet of ships. And they got over here, but all their females died because it took a long time. What? Like, I'm buying things. I'm like, all the females died because it took too long. It was too hot. Like, they couldn't survive. And we couldn't get away with saying that now in a movie. But, like, you know, it's what it is. So Marge reveals all to Doc. No, she goes to Dr. Wayne, and she tells him. And she's like, well, how do you know I'm not an alien? She goes, I took a chance. So his great idea is this, right? Because obviously they can't get pregnant. And none of the other people who are aliens can get the women pregnant because they haven't figured it out yet. So what does he do? He needs an army. I need an army.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Right? And so he goes, I have a plan. Man. So what happens? What is it? What's his face? The one who's not Ted. Ted walks in and goes, oh, we had twins, right? Dr. Wayne's like, I got it! He goes to the maternity ward and goes, everybody, let's go! And he rounds up all the new dads, right? Because they can't be aliens because their wives all had babies. So he rounds up all the new dads, and they're going to go, they're on the road to the field where the spaceship's located, right? The whole posse of them. And the one guy brings his hunting dogs. You have to bring them everywhere kind of thing. And he brings his hunting dogs along, which turned out to be really important into the story.
Oh, yeah.
The hunting dogs are the most... They're some of the most likable characters here. So they take the fan. They fan out. Okay, so Bill calls Chief Collins on the phone because Marge said she had talked to him. And he realized she's lying. She goes upstairs, locks the bedroom door. He punches the door down. Just bam, gone. Right? So now they're having their altercation in the bedroom. Now he's not hitting her, but they're arguing, right? The posse gets close to the ship, so that thing, which is anything they get their hands on, they just glued together to make the thing that comes out of the top of the ship, that's the detector, right? Mm-hmm. It sends out it's a bunch of pipes and cylinders, right? It scans the area. So Bill's shaking her, Marge, and he wants to know who she spoke to. And he senses, and then they all get the ESP, the danger. So all the aliens now are like, quick, to the ship! And they all go to the ship.
All three of them.
Yeah. Well, all of them, except Collins, who's like, you know, he's sitting in the office kind of thing. So the ship opens, and a couple aliens exit, and so Bill gets in the police car. They go to the ship. Dr. Wayne and Mason, who's the one with the dogs, they fire they're shooting the aliens, but nothing's working. So every one of these guys are unloading their guns, these hunting rifles, and nothing's working. So those two dogs that he said, why'd you bring the dogs? He lets the dogs go. They kill two of the aliens. It rips out its breathing tube.
Right.
Right? So it rips out the breathing tube, and the other alien shoots the dog, which I know hurts a lot of people because you're like, oh, man, that's the most likable character we've seen so far. Oh, good, the other dog's here. The other dog kills the other guy, right? But I love how the dogs are in there, like they're doing the crouch along. They are well-trained dogs. Yeah, they were doing good crouches and stuff. Where are you? So it bleeds from the wound, the creature falls to the ground, blah, blah, blah. The other dog attacks, the other one kills it. The men return and they stare at the alien's body. It disintegrates into a gel pile, like a pile of goo. Right? They enter the ship and they see all the suspended real humans in the air. Right? So you know those poor guys are on hooks. Like, you know, they're just saying, hung there, like, don't move too much. God, don't move. Don't move. Stay still. Act like I'm there. Think it was wire. So what happens is, right? So the doctor concludes that it's electric impulses from their real human bodies that must give the monsters form and shape, even memories. Like, this doctor is, like, he's far too smart for certain things. He knows stuff, right? So, you know, and they don't make a big point. Like, well, I remember when I was in the army, or I remember when I was in the, I seen some things, you know, like, I, you know, he just, he's a, like, he's just your regular run-of-the-mill average family doctor who now can figure all this out. Anyway, so they start disconnecting the guys, right? So they disconnect Officer Schultz, and his corresponding alien falls to the ground and turns to goo inside his clothes. So they start disconnecting different humans. Bill realizes the mission's failed. So Captain Collins is back at the police headquarters, and he has this battery-shaped device, and he says, Earth mission has failed. They're alerted and dangerous. Suggest continuing on another galaxy. Total personnel lost. They unplug his guy, and as he's dying, right, and he starts collapsing in his office, and he says, destroy scout ship, right? Now, it doesn't happen. He says that, and it's like, okay, we'll get the message there. We're just going to bring it over, because you would think the message, bam, it'll blow up. But it doesn't blow up. It takes a little while, because they got to get the other people out of the ship, including Bill. So, Marge, of course, she chases after aliens. She knows they're aliens. She's chasing after them. So they have their altercation, and Alien Bill says, "Your people have won. That must make you happy, doesn't it?" And then they pull the plug, and she's upset because now Bill's dying. But the problem is, she knows he's an alien, and it just was weird. It's like, what happens is, he comes walking out, and he goes, Marshall's, "Bill!" Because we got to get one more in. We can't not have Bill one more time. They embrace, whatever, everyone's turned into Jell-O. The ship pops, and they're off. So the fleet of the flying saucers don't come back. Anyway, yeah. That's the end of the movie, and now all of the women now can now go have babies with. But the thing is, now the problem was they never explained. Was Sam? Did his? Because they killed his alien. Is he still there? Like, is Sam still hanging in there? Like, because now Helen's gonna have a lot explaining to do. You know, because Helen's probably out there going, "Who's left? Let me see." Because Helen was like on the search for a man, and you know she got one, and then whatever.
Anyway. Well, again, these movies. In 1958, if I had seen this as a 9-year-old,
let me tell you how you might have seen it, because you might have seen this in the movies. Here's why: it was released. It was a hit with audiences and with critics, and it didn't have a big budget and whatever. But the idea, it played really big with the drive-in. Eventually, it was slated to be the A picture with a double feature with The Blob.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
Here's the problem: they screened it. The Blob was the A picture, so this became the B picture on that. So you might have seen it in one of those things when they brought all the movies in.
Well, again, but if I had seen this movie, when Jason said, you know, "Please watch this, we want it, we're going to do our podcast on it," I didn't remember it. I thought it was something completely different. But watching it, I mean, this is a very cerebral monster movie. It would have disappointed me as a 9-year-old and walk out of there, especially since the creature doesn't spend that much time in on the screen, and it's always in a fog-like apparition
until the very end when the dogs kill him.
And even then, it's over in like 5 seconds.
Yeah,
but the
well, that's one of the problems. That's what they said, is that this movie kind of, the title itself made a lot of people critically think it's a joke, but it didn't have the monsters to really draw in.
Right.
Like so it kind of the title, "I Married a Monster from Outer Space."
I mean, I got to tell you, in third grade, if I saw this movie on Saturday, on Monday, don't go see. That stinks.
Yeah.
You know?
What I'm saying is, but the problem is that the movie's title lent itself to a very exploitive, like, this is perfect for the 50s.
Well, give me it. But what I'm saying is,
if the movie had been whatever, like, they could have played this movie completely the exact same idea, and that the aliens... Okay, so let's take the aliens from being aliens and make them Russian, or the communist threat. This is now a drama. This is now, like, it's like the Manchurian Candidate kind of thing, where they're replacing people and stuff like that. Or I'm thinking that the 100 Years of the Dragon. 100 Years of the Dragon.
Which is an absolute classic.
Well, no, great. And that's from Outer Limits. Outer Limits, exactly. Yeah. What I'm saying is, I think they could have played this, instead of not making the monster, obviously, like some foreign threat, then this plays as a different kind of picture. And I think people would have actually, taken this more seriously. I think because it had that title and it was double billed with The Blob, which was... Let's face the blobs in color. It's all the hot rod cars. I mean, Steve McQueen. People kind of dismissed it. So I think what happens is it kind of gets a rap of being one of those movies. It's just like those other movies, but it's clearly not. This is a very moody and like shadowy kind of picture.
But watching this movie now and trying to be not so much critical, but to be observant of it, it's a typical 50s movie. When you're nervous, you smoke. And there's a lot of smoking going on in this one.
That was 1958.
But the thing that we mentioned this before about the doctor's plan, I thought his plan was flawed because the wives weren't pregnant yesterday. They were pregnant 9 months ago.
Yes, I know.
And so their husbands at this point could be aliens. But again, that would have screwed up how the ending happens.
Okay, so what you're describing exactly how things would have happened now. If he had said, "Let's get them," then one of those guys would have been an alien, would have tipped him off. It would have been him. There's no major gun. I mean, the gun, they're shooting guns, they ain't doing anything. Whatever. The end of the movie kind of just happens. There's no blood and gore and Groot. Like, there's not, like, none of that stuff happening. No, but in 1958, you could have had some blood. You could have had some whatever. Not gallons of blood, but they turn into this jelly. Right, they don't even like pop. They don't even like whatever.
Well,
you know?
Just like in the Invasion of the Body Snatchers, when the pitchforks go in,
Well, they have no blood in them.
There's no blood. So, again, do they have blood here? It's obviously not red or
right,
whatever.
Yeah, exactly what I'm saying. But even when they kill people, it's all disintegration. It's taking them away. There's no. This is the complete opposite of like Mars Attacks. Like the Mars Attacks cards that were out about the same time.
Yeah.
And that was where they show people getting torn in half and like blown apart and whatever. This is, you know, they get, you know, she gets, Francine's running away. She gets gone. Like, you know, kind of thing. So,
Again, my last take with movies like this is that, if you need a friend, have a dog. Dogs rule. All the dogs in it, there's like three or four dogs before the end of the movie. They know that there's something wrong with these,
they
growl.
Yeah.
But nothing has come of it. But at the end,
the two German Shepherds are the most important characters, and they are the two most likable characters in the movie because they actually did the best acting. Because they probably told them, you know, like they trained them to scooch around the floor. They're in her hunting dogs, and they actually acted like hunting dogs. So, if you're interested in seeing this movie, it's on YouTube. In fact, the rip of the DVD is on YouTube, so that's available there, and it's really a clean copy. On Amazon, again, you go to the Choo Choo Freaks website, click on the Amazon link. That helps us keep the lights on here. A little bit of, doesn't cost you anything, but a little bit of it comes to us. On there, it's $17.99 for the Archive Highlights DVD. The DVD Dad and I have are this was the original one, the widescreen collection. It's the exact same DVD that is now part of the Archive collection, but it was out of print. That thing goes for like in the 30, 40, because it's out of print,
yeah.
Right? So there's no reason to spend that kind of money on it. You can see it on the Archive Highlights for $17.99 or so on DVD. Again, it's also on YouTube, but you have to decide if you want to sit and watch YouTube. I know some people don't like looking at the computer screen, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, it's also on the 31 days of Halloween on TCM.
They'll show this, yeah.
It usually pops up as one of the movies.
Yeah, well, because again, it fits perfectly with TCM's kind of motif.
Yeah, it's only 78 minutes.
Well, no, but it's not just that. It also, because it's not a horror movie. It's one of those, it's a sci-fi, psychological, like this is very different. They like those kind of things. Anyway, so like I said, you know, this is one of the ones, a lot of different places later on in life, film historians and critics have said, you know, they really like this title. They've gone and, you know, it's been discovered. It was kind of quote unquote lost to many of them when they were younger. Although I Married a Monster from Outer Space is a title that's been, you know, it's nothing, you know, new. I mean, there were plenty of like, I Married a, what was the, a War Bride, whatever, those other,
yeah.
There's serious movies kind of thing. It wasn't like it was the only movie ever called this, but it was definitely exploding.
Or even the ones, even the two, when I was a teenage werewolf and I was a teenage Frankenstein. I mean, I was, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm saying it, but those, I mean, that's not like, the whole point was this is playing up, the poster art always has her screaming and it's her face, like, it's playing, and they hide the monster. And the key is that it was playing that up, trying to get maybe, you know, people in. I mean, you know, they always kind of, it's just something different. A little exploitative. To me, the problem is always this. Any movie that references basically Invasion of the Body Snatchers is always going to fall short. Because Invasion of the Body Snatchers is one of my top 10 films of all time, period. And maybe the best, could arguably be said one of the best science fiction movies ever made, period. I mean, ever made. And they made, you know, they made the remake in the 70s, which is very different, but it's not as good, obviously. They had that remake in the 90s. They had Invasion a couple years back with, James Bond, Daniel Craig. And Nicole Kidman. I mean, they've remade this idea over and over and over again, kind of thing. And I think anytime that happens, people are always going to compare it to the Invasion of Body Snatchers, you know. And that movie's just so good on so many levels, so... All right, folks, so that about does it for us. This, of course, being the February edition, you know, just dropping right before Valentine's Day, which is why we did I Married a Monster from Outer Space. Our next episode is going to be our one-year anniversary because we started March of 2016. It'll be our March of 2017 episode, and it is Fiend Without a Face. Yes, Marshall Thompson is back, just as he was in the first episode when he was in space battling it, the Terror from Beyond Space. Now he's battling the Fiend Without a Face. So, also be on the lookout, folks, for other stuff coming from us. As I said to you guys, you know, we've said we're going to, you know, we enjoy doing this. If you want to leave us feedback, of course, email us right through the show. We'll read your feedback. Maybe this is a movie that you loved as a child. Maybe this is a movie that, you know, maybe it was, you know, your favorite growing up. Maybe you've never seen it. Maybe you remember going to the drive-in and seeing this with The Blob and saying, hey, look at those really cool cars in The Blob. And hey, look at those really old cars in that movie, even though they're made the exact same time. Or anything along that. But like I said, be on the lookout for stuff from us. You know, your support's really important. Any feedback you want to give us is great, and we'll welcome it in. Anything else here, Dad? Are we good?
No, not on this movie. I'm good.
Okay, so like I said, we'll be back in March with Fiend Without a Face. So keep those cards and letters coming, and keep watching the skies.
This is Tokyo, once a city of 6 million people. What has happened here was caused by a force which, up until a few days ago, was entirely beyond the scope of man's imagination. Tokyo, a smoldering memorial to the unknown. An unknown which at this very moment still prevails and could at any time lash out with its terrible destruction anywhere else in the world.
Hi, folks. Luke Giaconetti here. I'd like to ask you a few questions. Do you like giant monsters, or as they're called in Japan, Daikaiju? Monsters like Godzilla, Rodan, Gamera, King Ghidorah, or Mothra? Do you like more obscure monsters, such as Gappa or Yangari? Do you like giant heroes like Ultraman, or super robots like the Shogun Warriors? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I think you might like my podcast, Earth Destruction Directive. I'm a dedicated fan of all things Daikaiju, and I'd like to share that with all of you. Please check out Earth Destruction Directive at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Earth Destruction Directive, where we turn your Daikaiju dreams into city-smashing reality.
This has been an episode of Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-Movie Podcast. If you'd like to contact me, please email the show at botsbugsbabes@gmail.com. If you'd like to find me online, I'm on Facebook under my name, Jason Giaconetti. I often contribute to the Two True Freaks Facebook group. You can visit my Facebook page, The Art of Horror Collective, and you can search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective. On Instagram, find me under my name, Jason Giaconetti, and search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective, as well as the new hashtag Bots Bugs Babes Podcast. I'm the only one using them. I'm also on Twitter at Jason Giaconetti, and you can visit my webpage at www.theartofhorrorcollective.wordpress.com. All movies, characters, stories, music, etc. are properties of their respective holders. This is a fan work, and any use of any property is purely for review, discussion, entertainment. So don't sue me. I ain't got anything anyway.
There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow!
Will you stop?